Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I want to mourn the old trees and tell them that we love them.
I've looked at clear cuts and burnt forest, and I felt outraged.
We are the crowning glory of God's creation, and all of nature was made for us. Nature is more productive because of us, not less.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Here we go.
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here!
Ooh! This is Wretched Radio, a Dunkashane. I won't call you darling, but Dunkashane for sending wretched stuff to idea@wretched.org and sending questions, comments, conundrums, snarks via text 877-282-2337.
All right, we start with a comment. This is from Mike on last week's show. He said, great topic last week from the school teacher. Love the encouragement for her to use the subject matter as a segue.
Okay, so it's the school teacher who said, how can I, in a public school,
right,
bring the gospel to my kids?
That's right. That's
okay,
right.
Got it.
Mike said the Equal Access Act prohibits any publicly funded school from stopping a student-led club on campus to meet for Bible study. The key phrase being student-led.
Yeah.
Of course, it doesn't mean that it can't be promoted by a teacher, but he said if it comes to the student, they cannot say no, although they do try.
Mm. So if you are a school teacher, you can promote a kid's Bible study.
Correct.
But you can't promote your own. But that's not to say that you can't have your own. And, you know, trying to find that delicate balance and walk that line of letting the kids know about it somehow. I suppose if they ask about it, that would be, you could have a plant. Excuse me, Mr. Hicks, is it true? Because I heard some gossip in the hallway that you're having a Bible study on Wednesday at 4 o'clock every single week, except during the Christmas vacation, where you're studying the book of Ruth so that you can see that Jesus is our kinsman redeemer. Is that true, sir?
Wow, that's some detailed rumors. So glad you asked.
877. Any more information you have about sharing your faith in the public school setting, that would be great. I have to confess to you, I actually am hoping that for the next 4 years, we start to teach our kids that America, oh man, its founding principles, which are based primarily on the Bible, are good. Liberty, religious freedom, freedom of speech, not certainly a perfect union by any means, but with biblical ideals, striving for those that the idea about this country is a good one. Love this country. Don't loathe it. Don't critique it to pieces and despise it. It's a good place to live. I in other words, I hope we get back to teaching some American history. That's what I'm trying to say. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Anonymous. Todd, I'm a student at a Christian university, and I was watching a recent Witness Wednesday where you said, go find yourself a pagan and witness to them.
Yep.
Is it wrong that because of the university I'm at, a Christian university, that most people who I witness to at least know the basics of Christianity? Should I be looking elsewhere for pagans to witness to?
Unless you're going to a university that I'm not aware of, you're always going to find unbelievers there. Even a great university like the Master's University, which is one I heartily commend to you, that you send your son or daughter to, they have 150 different programs. That's just staggering to me. 150 different programs, and their ratings, whether it's secular or Christian organizations, give them a huge thumbs up. I point you in that direction, but there's no way every kid there is a Christian. And just like as much as I would like to say, at Alpharetta Bible Church, there's nobody there who's not saved. I'd love to say that, but reality says something else. That you're always going to have people, even inside of Christian communities, and different degrees of temperament, certainly, but that are lost. So you'll find plenty right there at your Christian campus. Have conversations with them. You're going to be shocked at how many Christian kids don't know the Christian gospel. They just don't know it. and you can share it with them, and you could have a massive impact on your Christian campus. And I got to do a shout out. Now that we're not as distracted with politics, church, if you're near a university campus, you're going to find plenty of pagans there. And okay, just to prove again what I and many other evangelists out on university campuses have been experiencing now for years. I'm not talking decades, but I am talking years. That the kids want to talk on one of the days this week, I don't know what day it is. One of the days this week, we sent Emily and Rebecca out to Kennesaw State. Wanted to do some man on the street. In this case, woman on the street, asking kids questions. I think we were the focus was on the existence of evil. How do you explain it? And when I talked to the ladies who went out, how did it go? They said, well, we didn't get as many as we thought we would. The kids, they just kept talking and talking. And I thought, yep, they discovered what I have discovered now for years. The kids want to talk. This is about the subject of evil and the existence of God. So it's not like we were talking about the 4th of July. We were talking about God. And the kids wanted to talk. Why? Why? I think this is speculation, but I think I'm standing on pretty solid footing here that there were two people with a microphone that wanted to know what you think, that are interested in you, that actually ask somebody questions, and they want, you're interested in me? I really think that's what's happening. You want to talk to, you want to know my opinion on something? I'll talk to you. Will you talk to me? Will you keep talking to me? That is the environment at university campuses. If you are a local church near one, get there. Tell you what, give you your money back if you discover the kids are hostile. Oh, you're going to find one here or there, and you're going to have somebody go, nah, I can't, I got to go to class. Don't take it as a slight. Talk to them. Get there. Have a regular presence there. I'm telling you, you will see fruit. If not, send an email to idea@wretched.org and get your money back. That was your cue.
Okay.
I threw in the website address, but I didn't put it at the end.
I didn't put it at the end.
Okay, so let me just help Jimmy.
I'm so confused.
So you'll get your money back if you send an email to idea@wretched.org.
All right, this is from Anonymous. Curious, Todd, if you
would have been funnier if you went silent on me.
I know. This is from Anonymous. Do you have any advice on how to best honor God in a dating relationship?
Yeah, treat her like a sister in Christ or a brother in Christ. That will guide everything. Because no doubt packaged in that particular question is the issue of touch, kissing, any sort of affection. What is that man or woman? That man or woman is a brother and sister. We know this. That man or woman is a brother and sister in Christ. Furthermore, that man or woman can be a friend, just a pal, somebody that you like to spend time with. What other descriptors apply to that relationship? Ding, 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 nothing. You're engaged is not a category in the Bible that says the gates are open to intimacy. That's marriage. And so if you are trying to honor that individual, just ask yourself the question, would I do that with a brother or sister, just somebody who's a brother and sister in Christ? You're not dating them, just somebody in your church about your age. Would you do that with them? Would you do that with a friend at school or at the university? And if the answer is a big fat, are you kidding me? No, then don't do it. Honor them. And especially I would like to speak to the young men. Young men, please start acting like a godly husband now. One who protects now. One who leads now. I recently received an email, and if you happen to be listening, please, I'm not, believe me, I'm doing the opposite of trying to sound critical of you, because I don't know the backstory to it, but the email was, what could my boyfriend and I be studying together to grow in maturity through the dating process? Now, look, I don't know the back. I don't know why she wrote and he didn't. But my immediate thought was that should be the dude. He needs to be the one. And I would go this far. And please note, I'm not speaking to you if you are the one who wrote the email. If you're a young lady and you're dating a young man and he's not leading you spiritually, in other words, he's not saying, what time do I pick you up for church on Sunday? Hey, we need to get there earlier because we're walking late into Bible study and we're missing it. And you know what? In fact, I want to get there 20 minutes earlier because the really good bakery is there. We got good bakery over at a Bible church. I'm just telling you. On Sunday, Julie made what is apparently John MacArthur's favorite coffee cake. I don't know how it earned that title, but if that's accurate, John has really good taste. Oh, man, was that a good coffee cake. And we sit around and eat it, delight in God's gift of taste, and enjoy fellowship with one another. And it's sweet. And if a young man doesn't want to lead you now into that sweetness, doesn't have the understanding or the energy. Now, it could be that he's oblivious and he needs to be educated in that way. But be careful, because if it is not his instinct to be doing that now, there's a very good chance he won't be doing that when you get married. Again, it could be an ignorance issue, but I think probably as a rule, if a dude doesn't lead you while you are dating, might want to get back on Christian Mingle. That's all I'm saying. This is Wretched Radio. Preborn Ministries, pro-life ministry, rescuing babies. The war, let me tell you, it's raging out there. And Preborn is right on the front lines providing what is so powerful, ultrasounds. When a woman sees her baby 80% of the time, it's a no-brainer. That's my child. That's a baby in there, not a blob of tissue. Worldview is getting pumped into everybody through Hollywood, social media, the internet, universities, businesses, and government. If you'd be kind enough to consider supporting Preborn Ministries, that would be groovy. Lives are saved. Women, men, hear the gospel. Please consider supporting this network of clinics that is doing such great work. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You ever notice how many voices are just clamoring for your attention these days? It seems like every week there's a new theological trend, another fresh interpretation of the Bible. Well, that's exactly why we've launched Fortis Institute. Drawing from 1 Corinthians 15:58, we're committed to helping you stand firm. Through Fortis Plus, you're going to get free access to 7 new pieces of audio and video content every single day, hundreds of hours of biblical content, exclusive director's cuts. But here's the thing, we're only able to continue providing this fortress of truth with the support of faithful gospel partners just like you. Your monthly gifts help us reach millions of people all over the world with the uncompromising biblical truth of God's word. So if you're ready to stand firm with us, just visit us at fortisinstitute.org and become an ongoing monthly gospel partner today. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Chances are pretty good you love Dr. John MacArthur's Master Seminary in Los Angeles, California, because they equip men to rightly divide the word of truth. But here's the replication strategy. The men from overseas come to Los Angeles, they get equipped, and then they return to their home country to start up a little mini master seminary.
All of these guys that are doing this, and there are 100 of our missionaries out there now doing this kind of training, they all come from the Master Seminary. And as a result of that, their theology is solid, sound. It's the same. So there's a unity to all of this. They take basically what they experienced in training at the Master Seminary and Grace Community Church. They train pastors the way they were trained, and they train them to handle the Word of God accurately.
Amazing. Would you please consider sponsoring your own seminary? You can learn more at wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor.
Books of the Bible. Nahum, whose name means the Lord comforts, brought a message of comfort to God's people and a prophecy against Nineveh. Nineveh was a powerful city, but they were no match for God. He punished them severely for their wickedness. When you see evil or are tempted towards evil, remember that there are only two possible outcomes: repentance or destruction. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It's because Jimmy's better than I am. This is Wretched Radio. Go ahead, quote your Bible verse for the last email that was sent in asking, how do we as a dating couple honor one another? You came up with a Bible verse. What is it?
Don't give evil a place, a foothold.
Yeah.
That was Ephesians something.
Four.
Ephesians 4. Yeah,
it's your put on, put off chapter.
Yeah. So to honor, I guess what was going through my mind was, to best honor God in a dating relationship, I think you got to define your boundaries early.
But I totally agree with you. Uh-huh. But how do you define them? And I think the answer is understanding the relationship categories that God has endorsed. Because the world has different categories, like boyfriend, girlfriend. The Bible doesn't use that terminology. You're a friend, or you're a brother or sister in Christ, or you're a relative. That's it. Their boyfriend, girlfriend isn't a category that God says, therefore, you can be frisky because, well, you're boyfriend, girlfriend, and you can do those things. So I think the way to define those boundaries is by recognizing what my relationship is with this young woman or this young man. What is my actual relationship? Not what I hope it will be, not what we say it's going to be, not what we talk about it being, what it is. And I think that's going to guide you. So this will probably give you the heebie-jeebies. I hope it does. How would you treat, you're a young lady, and you're wondering about things like kissing, hugging, etc. All right, would you do that with your brother? Whoa, hey, hold it there, pally boy. I say, what's the problem? Because if the rules are you can do anything you feel like, well, then it shouldn't be a problem. But you realize intrinsically, it's like, no, that's not my relationship. That's not appropriate for that relationship. There are other ways to express affection with a brother or a family member. And hugging and smooching ain't how to do it. Well, you know, you can do the typical three-pat.
The side hug. That's it.
Those that sort of. But we understand what familial affection looks like versus romantic affection that is reserved for husband and wife. And so this isn't me just being puritanical. This is God has laid down the rules. You don't get to be romantic with a date. You don't get to be romantic with somebody that you're even engaged to. You don't have that privilege or right. So let those relational categories write those rules for you. And this would be my encouragement, because I remember that sense of you're moving big time into adulthood, and everything is kind of exciting and new. And everything, you just kind of get to make so many decisions that were always made for you. And it's all exciting, because even though I remember this, this could just be me, but we didn't go out to eat a lot as a kid. Perkins was kind of the big thing when my grandparents would take us to Perkins. And there I went to be both happy and disappointed simultaneously. Happy about the pancakes, disappointed with the wishing well. They had a wishing well with little plastic toys, and you could go in and pick one of the toys. Yeah, they were not even as good as a McDonald's Happy Meal toy. Okay. Little disappointment there. So we didn't go out a ton when I was a kid, money issues. But then when I became an adult and I went out making money, getting a paycheck, and I went out, it just felt different. It's like, whoa, I got a little swagger. And it's like, whoa, I'm stepping into this, man. And it felt good. I get that feeling. I get it. Furthermore, I know the siren song of the world that sings the tune, hang out with cool people. Church people are dorky. Hang out with the people that are shiny, that are influencers. I hear that song. Reject it. Reject it. If you're dating somebody and you're thinking in terms of marriage, start acting honorably right now. Act like a bigger man. Act like a greater woman than the world. I know you maybe hear some of these things and you're like, whoa, what's next? We're just going to listen to Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God on repeat, which is never a bad idea. But I'm not trying to be puritanical. What I would position this as is an option of the better. What God wants for you is better. This was the sermon on Sunday, by the way, at alpharettabiblechurch.org. That God, he wants better for you. Everything he offers to you, just trust it is better. Because it's not always going to feel better. And feelings, therefore, need to be identified for what they are. Deceptive. You feel like fill in the blank. You just want to veg. You just want to just chill out, whatever. But you haven't been reading your Bible, but you don't feel like it. Okay, here's what I can tell you. Reading your Bible is better for you than sitting on a couch. Now, this is not to suggest you can't sit on a couch and watch a football game. What I'm saying is, if you are not doing the things that grow you, well, then you're missing out on the banquet. Because what God wants for you is better. I can assure you of this. No matter how good the game is, I get to go to the, what is the name of that Tennessee team, Jimmy?
Gosh, why are you going there?
Because I'm going there.
I'm not going to be your friend anymore.
I'm going to be at Stanford Stadium in Athens, Georgia, to watch the Volunteers of Tennessee versus the Dogs of Georgia.
At least you're not going to Neyland.
Okay, we can do those things. There's nothing wrong with those things, but I can tell you this, as much fun as that will be, I can assure you, if I had spent 4 hours reading my Bible, that would have been better for me. Now, I didn't say that it might not be more fun, but I know that it would be better for me. Why? Because God says, I will feed you, I will grow you through my word, I will grow you through fellowshipping with other Christians, I will grow you through preaching, I will grow you through the Lord's Supper, not in a mystical way, because it doesn't have any power in it, but as we tactily consume the gospel, we're strengthened by it. So trust God when he says, what I tell you to do is the better thing. It's the better way. And he tells you, if you are young and you're dating, act nobly. Deny your lustful desires. Show that you're a man, not a boy, and certainly not a perv. Be a man. Walk like it. Act like it. That you are a man fully under God's control. That you are totally sold out and subservient to his wishes and whims and desires because you know they are better. And I think that's what is needed to keep us from having a legalistic spirit about encouraging disciplines. This is a better thing for you. Just trust it's a better thing for you. For instance, physically, you're thinking, I'd kind of like to eat a pizza, but I should be going to the gym. All right. I'm not saying you can't stay home and eat pizza. That's your call. But what I'm saying is working out would be better than eating 7,000 carbohydrates. Not just better for, that's all there is to it. And you say, but it tastes better. It feels better. It's more fun to just sit and eat a pizza than go bench press. Yeah, right. But it's not better for you. And recognizing that bench pressing is better than pizza consuming might just get you up, and instead of dialing up DoorDash, you make a dash to the gym and get on it because it's better for you. That's what God offers you spiritually. I want better things for you. And if you do this, it'll be better. And you perhaps won't feel it, but it will happen to you. You'll become more godly. You'll become more Christ-like. And I promise you, you give it time. People will notice. This isn't the reason we should do it, but people are just going to notice. You're going to be hanging around with your friends and some sort of mini calamity is going to happen. And it's like, oh, well, what do we do? Suddenly everybody's looking at you. Why? Well, you're just different. You're just more under control. You're more mature. And if they're really thinking, you're really godly. Let's go to that source right there. It's what God will do for you. And you can start that now. Now, you're not even dating yet. Start acting like that now. Honor women now. And might I suggest, start with your mom. Honor her. I'm not kidding. Why don't you treat your mom the way that you think you're going to treat your wife someday? Because if you're not treating your mom the way you're going to imagine you treat your wife someday, you're not gonna, because you're not doing it now. So what am I talking about? I'm talking about open the door for her. When you hear her in the kitchen kind of make a sound, get up and help her. When you're going to the car, walk around and open up the door so she can get in without having to tug that thing open. Do it now. I'm telling you, you will increasingly become a man, a godly man, and that is the best of men. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. I'm Jimmy Hicks. Well, the post-election meltdowns continue. At Oberlin College, a professor informed students that she had canceled classes because, and I quote, "I cannot teach." When your ability to function depends on election results, maybe it's time to find a different profession. Speaking of the election aftermath, Isaac Willauer makes a compelling observation about Vice President Harris's defeat. Was it despite her DEI credentials or because of them? When Barack Obama has to lecture black men about their obligation to vote for her, maybe Americans are just tired of being told identity matters more than competence. Target stores are embracing Merry Christmas once again instead of Happy Holidays. This shift is amazing and just a representation of how quickly corporate memory improves when the political winds decide to shift. Alberta Premier Danielle Smith continues her streak of common sense legislation, this time requiring parental permission before schools can change students' pronouns or include them in sexual education. Following her recent protections against child gender transition, Smith's latest bill puts parents back in charge of their children's upbringing. And it's pretty sad that we have to have laws that actually do that. And the media, the mainstream media that is trying to shame the state of Florida as the nation's top book banner for removing sexually explicit material from schools. I guess protecting children from pornography counts as censorship. Yeah, when you shame a state for protecting children from pornography, you know you've lost the plot, right? And a sobering lesson from Tuesday's election. 7 states passed radical abortion amendments that go far beyond Roe v. Wade. Only Florida, Nebraska, and South Dakota managed to hold the line, which is a wake-up call that there's much more work still to be done. In Sudan, Muslims drove 34 Christians from their homes simply for being Christian. While American universities offer safe spaces for hurt feelings, real persecution continues all over the world and mostly unreported. Just like in Pakistan, where the government is now actively collaborating with Muslim vigilante groups to trap people into sharing blasphemous content online. The result is a tripling of blasphemy cases just this year alone, with religious minorities like Christians bearing the brunt. And finally, we end with an update from New York City, who is ending its program that handed illegal aliens hundreds in taxpayer dollars weekly for food. It seems even Mayor Adams is able to read the electoral tea leaves. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. And don't forget, as always, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Mexican. Faith is not a force we harness or a feeling we get. True biblical faith consists of 3 things: knowledge of the truth, agreement with the truth, and a trust in the true God. There is no power in faith itself. The power is in the one we put our faith in. Are you trusting in Christ or in something that cannot deliver?
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Maybe I should take my own medicine. This is Wretched Radio, encouraging you, if you are a young person, to start acting like a mature, older, godly person. And I'm not even taking my own advice as a talk show sorry, I failed miserably talking about manhood and failed to announce Adam Tyson.
Oh, yeah.
The podcast, Way of Manhood. Dude, start listening to that. I mean it. Start listening to that. And I know what you're saying because I can hear it, but I'd rather listen to music. Okay, you can listen to music. Up to you. What I'm saying is listening to a theologian and pastor who's mature and godly and actually kind of hip is better for you. I get it. When I go to the gym, which doesn't really need to be stated because obvious. Jimmy, I started working my legs.
Finally.
Not kidding.
Now, how many years did it take?
All right. Well, all of them. Hate work. My slogan was no day is leg day. Then I don't have to complain about, oh, I did leg day yesterday. Don't have. So I started doing it because everybody keeps saying working your legs more important than upper body. And clearly I've got the upper body part nailed. So I decided I'll spend a little bit of time on the leg thing. I actually kind of digging it a little bit because I'm not feeling like I've got to squat 800 pounds like the dudes at the gym that are, you know, grunting and throwing chalk all over the place. Just a little bit. You probably noticed that might need to get new pants. That's all I'm saying. In about 20 years, if I stay on it, might need to get new pants. I go to the gym and I've got my little earbud thing in the Spotify machine. And I've got podcasts on there, like Way of Manhood. And I've got Elvis on there, because nothing gets you pumped up like Burning Love, baby. And I can choose what it is that I'm going to listen to. And I've disciplined myself. On Saturday, I listen to podcasts. I'm going to listen to podcasts. I might feel like listening to Elvis more. And I'm not even saying it's a sin to do so, but it's a decision. Do things that are better for you. They're just better for you. You're drowning in a lake and somebody comes swimming out. They've got the little thing behind them, which indicates they're either from Baywatch or they're a lifeguard. They use those things to like put.
Oh yeah.
And they grab the thing, say, and they say to you, grab this. I don't feel like it. It's just a lot of work. Furthermore, I doubt you would say legalist, killjoy. You'd be like, give me that thing. That's what I'm saying. God offers you something that's better for you, and even though you don't feel like it, just do it. Not all the time. That is tiptoeing into the land of mysticism. That is John Mark Comer land, where I can't do anything secular. I can't do anything that's fun. No, I'm not saying that. But if you're neglecting those things, if your diet is off, you need to consume spiritual calories. And that just means cutting out some stuff. And the encouragement is not do it or else God's going to slap your wrist, but do it because God opens up his hand and says, I have all of these better things for you. And the way to access them is through faith. How do you get bigger faith? It is by consuming the means of growth of your faith. Do those things. And even on those days when it's hard, do it. Better for you. Then you can send emails to idea@wretched.org.
All right, this is from Ethan. Todd, what are some practical tips to improve my prayer life?
I think starting with recognizing what it is that we get to do. It's interesting. On last Sunday, Pastor Mike was teaching through, he's preaching through Selective Psalms of David, to understand the theology of David, the man after God's own heart. And we were in Psalm 5, and I noticed some key words from David. It's becoming apparent that David likes threes, which that's good architecture, that's good landscaping, that's good poetry. He likes threes, so he regularly repeats phrases like my sins, my transgressions, my evil deeds. It's like, okay, you could have just said one of those things, but no, he said all three of those things. So consider Psalm 5. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Okay, so there's number one. listen to me, Lord. Consider my meditation. That's two, saying the same thing a different way. Give heed to the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for to you I will pray. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you and I will look up. That is a man who's praying. And he's praying because he understands what prayer is. As James tells us in James 5, it's powerful. The fervent prayers of a righteous man avail much. Elijah's given us the example that prayers are a line to God's ear. This is maybe a contemporary phrase that seems trite because it probably is. You get to text with God, but you get to do it by talking to him, either silently or with your mouth. Be careful in England, you can get arrested for both. The point is, you get to talk to the power source. You got to know what prayer is. You got stuff going on? Why are you trying to fix everything yourself? I'm not suggesting you neglect being responsible. What I'm saying is, why would you neglect tapping into the one who says, come unto me, cast all of your cares on me, petition me. This is how you pray. And he's made a path and a way for us through the person and work of Jesus Christ, the mediator. So if you want to pray more, better, remember what it is. And I'm going to go this far. It's funny. This has been happening like a lot. Mike will teach Sunday school at 9 o'clock in the morning at AlfredaBibleChurch.org. And then I preach the sermon. And I've been saying to him after the Bible study that I don't know which psalm he's going to be diving into in any given week. I'm like, well, that was my sermon. Because inevitably, we're talking about the exact same thing. And he was talking about prayer. And I wanted to include this in Sunday's sermon, but time didn't permit or I just forgot. I encouraged prayer as being something that will strengthen and will grow and will increase your faith, which is the key to producing all of the spiritual fruit in your life. Believing more, growing that mustard seed size faith, enlarging it through these different things that we can do, knowing that it is the better for us. And I didn't say it, but I'm going to say it right now. Pray with some expectancy. Oh, what happened? I thought this was a conservative Bible. Did I just squeak? When it's time to change, you've got to you pray with expectancy. I'm sorry, but it's biblical. Not in a word faithy kind of way. All right. I'm saying it and I really, really mean it. I'm speaking these words, so God's got to do it. No, not saying that. But I am suggesting these prayers that are theologically right, but they, might I suggest they lack a little power? Maybe you've prayed something like this. Lord, my dear sister is sick and she needs a healing touch from you, if it's your will. So either way, we're good. Amen. Okay. Everything about that was right. But might I suggest that we remember not just what prayer is, that it is a direct line to God, but we remember that our God, his character and his nature, that he just doesn't have power, but he's filled with goodness and he's faithful. And he tells us, I am happy to listen to and respond to your prayers in the best way possible. And I make promises to you. For instance, the man whose heart is stayed on God, the Lord looks after, Isaiah 40, kind of a paraphrase. The man whose heart is stayed on God, God has a promise for you that he's going to protect you. Now, that means without becoming word faithy and insistent, all right, God, your word says you got to protect me because I'm keeping myself. I've been doing that, so you got to do that. That's not how to pray to our divine Savior. But you could petition your God, Lord, you have so many promises for your children, and I'm one of those children, and you promise to protect. Please do that. Please. Do that. In fact, I'm going to trust that you're going to do that. And you pray promises of God, knowing that that he is good and he will say no if it's better for you. But the weak prayers of, well, it's all in your sovereign control, so maybe could be infused with a little bit more, Lord, you're good and you're powerful and you're mighty and you can heal just like that. You don't even need to snap your finger, just done. Lord, please do that. Give ear to my words. Consider my meditation. Give heed to the voice of my cry. That's praying with power and expectancy. And I'd encourage you, get face to face. It's a book in our bookstore at FortisInstitute.org. It'll help you do just that. This is Wretched Radio.
Marriage and parenting. They're not for the faint of heart, and in a fallen world, those sacred callings can feel overwhelming. Maybe you're struggling with communication. Maybe your kids seem a bit out of control. Maybe you're just trying to keep your head above water. But here's the truth. Your home wasn't designed just to survive.
It takes robust, very alive, well-fed faith to have a marriage that thrives.
Join Pastor Brad Bigney, who spent over 3 decades as a biblical counselor, helping thousands of couples and families move from barely surviving to truly thriving. Each episode of Thrive tackles real issues with biblical wisdom, from resolving conflicts to rekindling romance to raising godly children in an ungodly world. Don't settle for survival mode. Listen to Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, available now on Fortis Plus or your favorite podcast platforms. You can find out more about Pastor Brad Bigney and Thrive at FortisInstitute.org.
Would you like the university experience without the, you know, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched to discover a Christian college that is biblical, that offers all of the academic excellence you desire: sports, athletics, arts, communication, all of the activities of, you know, a secular university without the, you know, secular parts. Please consider the Masters University online, or of course, on-campus learning, undergrad, master's, and doctoral programs. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. Masters.edu/wretched.
Are you looking for biblical answers to life's toughest questions? Are you tired of shallow solutions that don't lead to real change? Welcome to Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford.
If you're dating someone that's not really convinced that Jesus rose from the dead, like, hit the eject button. What are you doing? That's dangerous, because they're not actually a Christian. They don't believe in the gospel.
Every week, Dr. Gifford brings you deep, practical wisdom from God's Word, showing how Scripture provides the framework for genuine transformation in your life, in your family, and in your walk with Christ. Whether you're struggling with difficult relationships or battling addictive habits, or just simply seeking to grow deeper in your faith, you'll find rock-solid biblical guidance that points you to Christ. Transformed is not just another Christian podcast. It's your weekly appointment with biblical truth. Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford. It's available at Fortis Plus and on all major podcast platforms. You can find out more about Transformed and Dr. Greg Gifford now at FortisInstitute.org.
Attributes of God. Can a loving God be wrathful? If God loves righteousness, loves people, and wants what is best for his creation, he must hate what runs contrary to his will. God must always respond to sin with wrath, and his wrath must be satisfied. It is either satisfied on the cross, or each person will bear God's wrath eternally in hell. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Will not the just judge of all the earth do what is right? Of course he will. This is Wretched Radio. You pray, God will answer in the way that is right, in the way that is best. But that doesn't mean that your posture needs to be passive. You're just going to do whatever, Lord. So I'm bringing it to your attention. My child isn't saved. So, you know, if you would, if you could, that would be great. But I understand if in your sovereign will, that's not your desire. So I'm okay with that. That's theologically right. And I think that should be the posture of our heart, that we will accept whatever God does, because what he does is right. But that does not mean we shouldn't be praying with fervor. God, save my child. Please save my kid. I know you love my child. You sent your son into this world to die for sinners. Please regenerate my boy's heart. Please. Do you pray like that? Please send stuff to idea@wretched.org. Comments, how you pray, how you found a way to concentrate better and not be distracted so that you can help the rest of us. I'm telling you, Face to Face, that book that we have in the bookstore, game changer, total game changer. Do you use that book still?
I do.
Because once you use it, you'll just keep using it as a guide, but then you won't need it at some point because you're going to remember how it structures a prayer. And you're going to just be able to march right through it without being as distracted as we tend to be. It's called Face to Face. It is at FortisInstitute.org. And then you can send wretched stuff to idea@wretched.org or text away at 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Anonymous. He texted in, Todd, I notice often when I...
Do you hear this?
What's that?
Do you hear that?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, you do?
I do, vaguely.
Excellent. My microphone is going goofy over here.
What did you do to it?
I think I might be getting a little exercised. Not doing exercise. Whew, who needs that? But when I'm like banging my table here,
mm-hmm.
it's wobbling it and it's making it go clickety clack. You hear that?
Yeah, I'll get right on that.
Do you think it's because I've been working on my legs?
I'm sure.
I'm sorry I interrupted you.
This is from Anonymous. Todd, I notice often when I sin, there's a tendency to conclude I must not be saved,
mm-hmm.
especially if it's a willful sin like giving in to the temptation to watch porn.
Mm.
Could this mean my faith is in myself for salvation?
I would absolutely have to ask some questions. And that's why I'm a little scared to respond directly to that. Because the answer is, well, I don't know. It requires a little bit more of an examination to understand, well, how often are you committing this sin? And why do you feel bad? Why are you concerned you might not be saved? What's driving that? Because that's going to be key. Because Christians fall into sin. They don't dive and swim, but they fall in and they hate it. They should be doing it, kicking and screaming, but they succumb to temptation. They commit the sin. Why do you feel miserable? If it's because, now I've got to wait another year before I can even date a girl because it clearly demonstrates I don't have myself under control. All right. I'd be concerned about that as your motivation, especially if that's your only or primary motivation. The Christian heart should be, I've sinned against my God and against him only have I sinned. And that is why the booklet, it's about 20,000 words that I just wrote. And it's actually edited and it's got the illustrations by Gary. And it's just, I think it's helpful. You need something to stop sinning. Do you know what that is? What do you need to stop sinning? If your answer included, well, I just need to stop. I need more willpower. I need to hate sin more. I would say, yeah, those things are fine. But that's not the only need, and it's not, I would say, the preeminent need that you need. Do you know what it is? You need to love your Savior more. That's what you need. You need the expulsive power of new affections. You need to desire being obedient to him way more than looking at porn. That's what you need to mortify that sin. So I would point you in that direction. And simultaneously, if that is your desire, then I would say that that is a pretty sound indicator you are saved. That I not only hate this because it's disgusting and I could get busted and lose my job or my wife would divorce me. No, my Savior died for me and I don't want to sin against him. And if that's your desire, then I would say that sounds like the heart cry of a Christian. And now you need to stoke those bellows. Now you need to stoke. How do you do that? And the answer is in the word faith. I can't recall the quote. It might have been Watson, something like that, that faith is the bellows that flames the affections. So you need more faith. And now you should rightly ask, well, how do I get that? I would encourage you to go back and listen to the last segment. God has provided means to grow your faith. And you need to know this is the key, not just to victory over sin. This is the key to peace, the key to joy, the key to ministerial power, to evangelistic fervor. All of it finds its source in faith. And this is it's really quite simple. The more faith you have, the more love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, etc. you're going to have. Because you're trusting more. So the way you do that is to continue to learn more about God. Because if you've got something coming up, all right, you got something scary coming up. You're really twisted about it. What's going on? Why are you lacking peace? And the answer is, you're not in that moment believing God's promises, including the one that says, I got this. I'll do what is best. Will not the righteous judge, the just judge of all the earth, do what is right, especially for his children? And when you believe that more, guess what you're going to have? More peace about your circumstances. And that is true of every emotion, every affection that you have. The sanctification, all of it, it is obviously connected to faith. How do you grow faith? By using the means of growing your faith. It's described in Acts 2, 42 and 43. And you can do that and be incentivized to do that because you get all the goodies. And here's the best goodie of all. Not only will you get the aforementioned peace and joy and fervor and zeal, you get Jesus. That's what you get. You get the best thing. Now you have all the motivation you need to mortify porn. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Kyle. He texted in, Todd, do you think that God allows those who enter his eternal rest to watch their own funeral?
Well, I you know what caught me on that? Not the question as much as your face.
Well,
okay, so answer your own question. You've got something brewing up there.
No. I've never thought about that question before.
Do I think you're going to watch your own funeral? No. And do I know that definitively? Well, as a talk show host, yes. Biblically, I just don't see that you are going to be able to see from heaven what is going on earth. And anything, good, bad, or otherwise, you're going to be staring at the face of Jesus Christ. Now, that doesn't mean you just sit there and go, okay, I'm looking at the cheek. Looking at his chin, you're going to be fellowshipping with your Savior. You're going to be thinking on your Savior. You're going to be doing everything in light of your Savior. That's what's going to energize everything in eternity, which is what should energize us now. And I don't think that we're going to have a ton of interest in what is going on earth, because we are going to know in that moment that God is indeed the just judge who will do what is right each and every time. And if that means, for instance, get ready for this, that if the aforementioned son or daughter who isn't saved doesn't get saved, it's not going to grieve you. Do you know why? Because your faith will be sight. And you're going to be agreeing with God on everything. And you are going to know, not just intellectually, but to the core of your being, that everything he does is best. And that includes when he says to myriads of people, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. You're not going to sit there and go, oh man, my cousin, we used to have so much fun. You're going to know that God did exactly what is right. And you'll be thrilled by it, because your sense of justice and righteousness will have been expanded exponentially. And that's what we're going to be doing in eternity. Expanding exponentially, because you are never going to get to the depths of God. All of the various attributes, you're just never going to get there. You're just going to, oh, he does that? Oh, that's the way that he's made it to work? Whoa. And he said, what? That's incredible. And it will never, ever stop. You're going to know that everything that God does is good. What God ordains is always good, even when bad things happen. And when you get to heaven, I promise you, you're not just going to be able to check that box on a quiz. You're going to know it. But don't think you're going to know what kind of casket they put you into at your funeral. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.